This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast.
And here we go, here we go.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
We have the latest on KU recruiting, analysis, and what the coaches and players are saying behind the scenes. Here are your hosts, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into a jam-packed football-only National Signing Day special edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. I'm Randy Withers, excited to have you with us. It's National Signing Day, so we are going to talk Kansas Jayhawks football with the only way that you can do that, and that's by welcoming in our publisher and my buddy John Kirby, the longest tenured guy on the Kansas football beat that knows this program better than anybody else. We're jumping right into it. I'm bringing John in right off the top. Kirby, how are you today?
Good, Randy. How you doing? You survive that shoveling today when I called you? You were out shoveling?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I you know, we heard Gary Lezak, and he's taken a lot of heat this week going back and forth with people about how much we were going to get, and luckily it wasn't that bad. Where I live downtown, I think we might have gotten, it might have been between 3 and 4 inches. It wasn't terrible. I know some people got crushed today, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. How about you? How bad was it out there?
Yeah, I think about the same. I went out and shoveled. I don't know. I didn't even really look. I will tell you this, though. There was some ice underneath the snow.
Oh, really?
That was the pain in the butt getting that stuff up. But, hey, kids got out of school, and they're like, hey, do you think we'll get out tomorrow? I'm like, you better not.
I loved it. I was watching on social media, and I'm a local beer guy. I love microbreweries and stuff like that. And a lot of the breweries, you could tell they were kind of watching. And as soon as they figured out that it wasn't as bad as everybody started expecting, they started announcing, "Hey, we've got snow day hours today, opening at noon, 1:00." People had different kegs they were tapping. And if I wasn't working, and that's the thing, I had way too much to do today after being in Puerto Rico for a week. I was like, man, this would be a dang good day to go to the brewery and hang out for a while. But nevertheless, there was too much work to be done between the real job and then the real work of today, National Signing Day. You know, I'm excited. We can put a wrap on this thing finally. But with the portal, I mean, it's like we've talked about. This is just a never-ending recruiting cycle anymore. And I can't imagine, you know, most coaches this time of year, you know, every year that we've covered this program since I started working for the Slant with you, many years ago, this would kind of be the start of a little bit of a break for these coaches. What do you think Coach Leipold and this staff are feeling like right now? I mean, do they feel like they get a break or even a minute to catch their breath before they've got to start thinking about, hey, what's going to happen during the spring?
Well, you could tell listening to Leipold today, no. They know there's no break. And, you know, it's kind of, Randy, to be honest with you, I don't think it's much fun as a coach, you know, and I know people.
I've picked up on that from a lot of college coaches that it doesn't seem like it's nearly as fun as it was just 12 months ago.
Well, you get a lot of guys and they say, well, hey, these coaches are paid so much money, you know, they should get over that. Let me tell you something. This portal, it might be fun for fans to follow. I'm just telling you right now, and I've talked to a lot of coaches about it. Boy, I don't know, there are many people that don't like it. And it just, it messes with your roster. It is, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be a problem. And it's never ending, you know. So, you know, we'll get into that a little, I'm sure, more down in the show. But, you know, you're talking, you know, Kansas recruiting's not over, you know. And you know, we went into signing day today. Really, in the past, Randy, you know, you wrap it up, right? It's done. We're done with today, and we move on, and we're talking about 2023. But now, you know, they could have up to like 6 or 7 spots. They've got to keep their eyes open and keep moving forward. You know why they're out doing spring recruiting, why they're doing spring football. And you know, this thing's just kind of something that just sits. It's kind of like a nuisance, you know, that always it just sits there, and it's something that they've always got to keep paying attention to.
It reminds me of teenagers. like specifically like teenagers that can't drive. They're always sitting there and they're a nuisance. You got to pay attention to them. With that in mind, as a father of teenage boys, I want to turn it to you. You know, when you look at your time covering recruiting and covering college football, I know we've talked about, you know, that this has just been such a seismic change with the advent of the transfer portal, but how has it changed, in your opinion, how we cover the sport? I mean, days like this where, you know, it's vastly different than it was even, like I say, even 12 or 24 months ago. How, in your opinion, what have been some of the biggest changes in how we cover the sport from then to now?
Well, Randy, one of the big things is I just, you know, we just touched on it was, you know, when the signing day was over, it was over. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now the classes are done earlier. And you know, you've got these portal guys. In the past, it was always high school or junior college guys. You know, today we're sitting there waiting on Brian Dilworth, who signed at 7 o'clock, you know, his time, which was 6 o'clock our time. So mm-hmm. at 6:15 this morning, KU's class was done. I mean, you know, and I sit here think, yeah, what do you do for the rest of the day? I know we got, you know, Lance was supposed to go on at 1, they got pushed back to 3, and it just makes it a long day. You know, you used to have a lot of things to talk about, but it's anticlimactic for us guys that cover it, for the fans that want to follow it. There's just a lot, there's not a lot of news. You know, I know some schools still had some unfinished business, but the Kansas staff really kind of got everything taken care of. So, you know, the classes get done earlier. You know, in the old days, you know, we literally used to ask recruits, did you fax your letter in? You know,
I
used to get on the phone and say, did you fax your letter? And they said, yes. And I would go on and tell everybody, he faxed it in. Now, you know, they just take a picture of it. They text it. It's a mm-hmm. it's a 30-second process. I remember back in the day when you'd get a snowstorm, okay, some guys wouldn't be able to get to the fax, right, because they wouldn't have one at the house, and sometimes there would be a snowstorm, and recruits would be like, hey, I'm going to have to fax it tomorrow, and then people would hold off on their signing day stuff 24 hours because a recruit couldn't get it in. But, you know, it's definitely changed everything. Technology has, obviously, with the portal, and I think everything's just sped up because I think most colleges – they are really, their classes are wrapped up before this late signing day.
No question. And you mentioned the snowstorm thing, and I've got to bring up, just to make at least one reference to the maybe the greatest national signing day debacle that I've ever heard of. And that was where the kid, I think he was signing with Miami or somebody, and his mom stole his letter of intent and took off, left the house with it. And they had to get him another letter because she wouldn't bring it back to him. That's still one of the craziest things I've ever heard of in regards to recruiting. So we're so far removed from that kind of thing now. And, you know, it's even with the way fans talk about it on the message board, it's just changed so much. And, you know, we've already talked about so much of it in regards to, you know, the portal players and the guys that have transferred and people that have joined the program over, you know, over the last couple weeks. And really, that's all old news at this point. When you, as somebody that has covered the program, obviously, when you step back and you look at the job that this staff has done, and you keep in mind, they still aren't even at the 12-month mark for having arrived in Lawrence. What did you like about the job that Coach Leipold's staff did with the portal and how they're handling this brave new world of college football?
Well, I think they handled the portal as well as they could have. And like I said in our last podcast, and I put this article up on the site a couple weeks ago, you know, I graded them out as an A. And mm-hmm. I really think that for Kansas, they upgraded several different positions. They upgraded them with quality players. And obviously, those players have got to get in, and they've got to work with Gildersleeve and mesh in with the team. And, you know, they still got to show up and work. But
of course,
they've got some guys that have some talent. And the thing that really stood out to me, Randy, was they got a lot of their first choices, which to me in recruiting means a lot, because when you're mm-hmm. wrapping up a lot of the guys, you know, on their portal board that were at the top, that means something. I love the running back position with Sevion Morrison and Kai Thomas. You know, Randy, I don't think a lot of people understand either the work that goes into this portal thing. It is so different than high school recruiting. Number one, your window is shorter. I mean, you've mm-hmm. got to get these guys filmed. And I don't know the exact number or the exact stat and when they stopped doing it. But I know at one point going into late November, the Kansas staff, and I'm not talking about the coaches, I'm talking about the in-house guys, okay? Iannello and Scott Aligo and Grant Murray and Schwarzkopf and those guys, they had watched, and I heard this, they had watched every player that entered the portal, I know through at least late November, okay? So I'm assuming that continued through there. Obviously, they probably started backing off on some when they started realizing they had some visits set and they were in good shape with some of their targets. But it is so different for these guys because not only that, then you've got to go out and you've got to recruit these guys, okay? So when you're recruiting guys in the portal, it's different than high school players because these are guys who've been through this before. They know how to play the game. They're smart. They're savvy. They know how to, you know, play the game. Whereas a lot of high school guys, you know, they're kind of pure, you know, and they're just going through this first time and they're honest up front and they shoot you straight. And you get these guys from the portal. Some have been through it and it's different. So I really think the off the field guys were huge. That off the field staff, it was a total staff effort, but I love what they did with the portal. And I don't know if I could have scripted it any better.
You know, everything was really known. I mean, there weren't any surprises. All the information was out there. Everybody really knew going into this morning that what this class looked like and that all we were waiting on was the signature from Brian Dilworth, who, like you said, by 6:15 our time here in Kansas City, that was done. I mean, the work, the hay was in the barn. That was that. You know, the cornerback from Florida signed with Jayhawks, and shortly after that, you got a chance to talk with him about making it official and joining this Kansas program. Let's head on over to the studio line, and we're going to listen right now as we hear Kirby check in with Brian Dilworth.
We are joined by Brian Dilworth, who is the latest signee of the Kansas 2022 class. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good, man. I hope you enjoy the day today, and it's a big day. Just tell everybody, what's it feel like to be a Jayhawk?
It feels great to be a Jayhawk, actually. Everything's been great since I've been a Jayhawk. Coach Peters and Coach Lipo been great. The coaching staff I met when I was at Kansas was great. Everything was just good. I felt like home to me.
You know, when you pick Kansas, talk about some of the reasons that you said, hey, I want to be a Jayhawk.
It made it feel like home. So Coach Lipo made me feel like I was at home, very comfortable, very trustworthy to be around Coach Lipo and the rest of the coaching staff. I met with some of the players. Trevor was one of the was my person I was around the whole day. So he showed me some things, showed me some people that were good people. So everything was just it was great. And Kansas, the energy and the atmosphere with the fans and how they're out there into everything makes it even better. Makes it even better.
All right. So when you were hanging out with Trevor and the players, you know, what did you learn from them, and what was the vibe you felt from the players?
It was a nice, cool vibe. I feel like everybody understands everybody. We didn't really go out too much because yeah, practice and stuff like that. But when we did go out and met some of the players, he was just telling me like these, like the positions and like how the personalities are. It was great to see that.
All right, so you take the official visit and then you come back home, and then Coach Leipold and Coach Peterson, they come down and visit you in the home. How did that all go? Break that down.
So they came and talked to me about the signing papers and stuff like that, and the process after me signing, how I go about that. And they told my mom the same thing. They met her at her job, told her the same thing. And my mom really likes Coach Lipo and Coach Peters, especially Coach Peters. She was the one that recruited me. He just made everything feel so peaceful and calm. We wouldn't have to worry about nothing. And we took his word for it. It was like he's a good trustworthy man, but family orientated too. He loves his daughters, loves his wife. So that's a big thing. Family. They also talked to my dad, and my dad loves the school. He hasn't been, like, he didn't go with me on my first visit, so it was his first time coming, and he liked it, so he put his two words in, and the rest is all on me.
You know, Brian, I know you were committed to Auburn. You had a lot of offers early on. Just tell me what's going through your mind to have this process done. I know you're a basketball player. You can focus on basketball. And just to have everything done behind you.
It's just such more relaxing. So, like, I wouldn't have to worry about what school I'm going to now. I know I'm locked in with Kansas. Kansas is the place for me. Just everything's just been more relaxing. I could now I know I have a place to go to. We don't have to worry about what school I'm going to now, the scholarship situation. So everything right now is good.
All right, so last question for you. You got a lot of Kansas fans listening right now. Tell everybody what Brian Dilworth can bring to the Kansas football program and what to expect from you.
I'm bringing energy, bringing turnovers, and bringing a winning mentality to change the legacy around of KU football and becoming a Jayhawk.
Brian, we really appreciate you jumping on here signing day. And again, congratulations and thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
John, I want to bring up something that will probably get overlooked, and that's the walk-on program. And this staff really landed some very nice local prospects and brought in some good talent. What do you think?
Yeah, they did. You know, and we'll get into this a little later with Schoonover and some of the changes on the staff. But he was one of the guys that was very instrumental in getting out there and helping with the walk-on program. And this is something Leipold and these guys want to do, and they want to do it with local kids. And they really did do a good job. And I don't know eight nine guys. Cole Roden from Platte County. He's a wide receiver and a kicker. You don't see that very often, right? I mean,
no, you don't.
Could do a little bit of both. And then Cale Farkas, who you and I have talked about before, old Shawnee Mission Northwest guy, offensive lineman. Grant Glasgow from Lawrence, a kicker. He's got a big leg. Kenrick Osai-Bonsu from Olathe North, 6'2", you know, corner, athletic guy. Kai Kuhn.
Freaky athletic kid.
Yes, he is.
He is a very... he is a steal, is what he is. I'll say it right now.
Hey, listen, and you got Kai Coons from Andover Central. I saw him play a couple times this year. I think he's got an ability. He's a good athlete.
Yes, he is.
I'll tell you what, here's another one that they got. Max Dowling, the tight end who came from Buffalo. He's already on campus, but he's a preferred walk-on. He ended up going to a prep school. He was offered by Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Akron, and there was a couple others in there too, but he's already on campus. Ty Farrington, a linebacker from Blue Valley North, Andon Carpenter, a defensive lineman from Derby. You know, when you just look at these guys, and you know what's going to happen, Randy, this portal again, it's changed things, and this is one of the effects where it's changed things, because not only do you have high school players, there are high school players out there right now who would absolutely been a Division I prospect and a Division I signee in past years. But because, you know, there are so many programs that are signing, I think I saw a list today, there are a lot of programs that have between like 7 and 15 portal players. So that's how many high school kids aren't getting the opportunity that usually would have in the past. And I still think you're going to find good walk-ons that can come in and help your program. And the Jayhawk, the coaching staff, really did a good job locally. So that is something that I don't think should be overlooked. I know it's something that, you know, I know there's a lot of people, because I've had some direct messages and people have reached out to me. They're like, man, you know, the walk-ons are cool, but, you know, let's focus on the, you know, the signee guys. I'm thinking, well, guys, the signee guys are wrapped up, right? There's not much to talk about. So if we're going to talk about recruiting here in these last couple weeks, there wasn't a lot to talk about. So I figured, you know what, let's talk about some walk-ons and write about those guys.
When you talk about the walk-ons, you know, we've got a clip. Let's listen to Coach Leipold as he talks about the importance of local players. Many of those are where much of that is where the walk-ons are actually coming from.
Well, it's very important to us, and we've been quickly able to see the quality of players. And that can be through past studies upon arrival about guys that are playing, whether it be, you know, at other local Power Five schools or the ones that even have left the state, that there are players right within the areas that you mentioned and a little bit further out that we feel can be the nucleus and building blocks of our football program. And we said that early on. And, you know, it's not always going to work out. You're going to get everyone. And it's not that you're always going to be able to take everyone. But at the same time, we have to, if we're going to say it, I thought it was very important when time allowed to get a chance to meet some of these coaches, get into schools, but also we got to back up what we're going to say. And I couldn't tell you, John, it was great. I really enjoyed it. From what we could see, I think the coaches have appreciated what we've been able to do in communication, at least in this short period of time. And, you know, for many of them, it said it's first time that, you know, a KU head coach had been in their building in a very long time.
Recently, you were talking on the board and you mentioned, you know, you were already kind of looking ahead to the 2023 class and talking more about local players again. And you kind of hinted, John, that it could be a battle to land some of the guys that are here, you know, in the surrounding areas around Lawrence. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you see when you look ahead to this next class of high school kids, and why do you think it could be tricky to land some of the better guys and get them to stay home?
Well, Randy, you know, nobody's come out and said this on the record, but I think there's some conversations and things being said behind the scenes, and the high school coaches and the recruits, they see the effort. They know what the Kansas coaches are trying to do locally. Everybody knows Leipold's showing up at the high schools. They know the assistants are showing up. So, but still, there are recruits that want to go to places that are going to bowl games. They want to go to places that are, you know, where you're going to win, okay? And this staff has worked as hard as anybody here over these, since Leipold's gotten here, to be out locally. But I say this could be a problem with timing, okay? And when I say that, you have a lot of guys that they've really put a lot of effort into in the 2023 class who are good local players, okay? But the trend has been, when do kids commit? They commit in June, July, August. They use the summer to get out and take their final visits, and they all want to try to have decisions before their senior years start, okay?
Yep.
All right. Leipold and his staff, they showed progress in year one, right? That's not debatable. That's something really you can't question. We saw progress, and the recruits saw progress. But is it enough to overcome an Iowa State, okay? Is it enough to overcome right now with them a Kansas State, a Missouri? You know, Nebraska's still a factor. Although they haven't won like Nebraska, they're still somebody who recruits the area. So when I bring this up, you know, I hope the thing that could help, and when I say timing, I hope that some recruits can hold off, because if they're going to make their decisions in June, July, and August, which a lot of them usually do, then they're not going to get to see year two under Leipold, okay? And what you hope is that these guys who are sitting there, I think KU right now with a lot of local kids is third or fourth on their list, okay? So a lot of things can happen between now and then. But what you hope is let's say Kansas comes out and starts 3-1, okay? Well, you hope that kid that you were on sees that and maybe didn't commit. Or if he did commit, you've got to figure out a way to change his mind. But it's a lot easier to do that if they haven't committed, you know, by that time. So,
of course,
you know, it's just these guys want to decide before their senior year. And right now, just the things that I've been hearing and some of the little tidbits, KU is doing a very good job, but they're just kind of in that second cut with a lot of 2023 guys. So I just think it's going to be an uphill battle with some of them, and you just got to hold on and maybe talk these guys out of saying, hey, give us a chance. Watch us in the beginning of the season. Watch what we're doing. See how we're progressing, and get them to hold off.
John, you know, normally National Signing Day, this really wraps up the class, and we're moving on to the next one. You know, like we say, we were just talking about 2023, and it would be really kind of full speed ahead towards that. But I want to play another audio clip today from Coach Leipold's press conference, specifically with you asking him about the transfer portal and how this is just really a never-ending process now.
Yeah, I don't think this will ever stop now with the portal the way it is and slots. And, you know, as we continue to get near that 85 that we want to be and the transition, you know, you're still in a balancing act world, so to speak, of how many initial scholarships you have. You know, part of it was how many mid-year slots we were able to bring people in, how many scholarships we'd have even to use. But then also, unfortunately, I think some publication even did a pretty nice article yesterday about the total numbers of guys, what the average have been across the board, what the average has been of guys leaving after spring ball. And now you have to try to plan for some of those and make sure you can kind of address those things. But at the same time, none of us have a crystal ball to know where you end up, what positions those be and who those will be. And, we continue to work to even out our scholarship numbers. We're unbalanced in some scholarship areas on our team from the time we arrived, offensively and defensively. We have some positions that are heavy laden. And, we work to kind of balance that. So school being closed here today and everything, we Zoomed as a staff all morning on our 23 board and doing things. So between the 23 board and then what's still going to maybe transpire here in the next few months, as you know, it never really stops.
Something Leipold said in his press conference about super seniors got my attention. John, are we going to see a lot of guys like that have the extra COVID years or anything like that? Are we going to see a number of those guys coming back to Lawrence this fall?
Well, Randy, first of all, they're really not super seniors, okay? So I don't know. I think everybody's going to call them something different. I don't think KU is going to call them a super senior. I could be wrong. I don't think they will. And they're really not a super senior. Super seniors were a one-year deal, okay? Last year, what they did is they allowed a super senior to come back, and he didn't count against your numbers, all right? Well, the NCAA came back and changed all that, and they said, hey, you still get your COVID year, okay? So you can bring a senior back using an extra year. The school has to agree on it. The player has to agree on it. Because there could be some guys, okay, the school has the right to exercise the COVID year. So if they go to a senior and say, listen, we just don't see a path forward with you in our program, we're not going to, you know, offer you this extra year, then it's over, okay? Mm-hmm. So the other big thing is super seniors did not count against the 85 last year. Well, now, this year, those players that you bring back that were technically super seniors last year, they do count against the numbers. So
okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so I don't really call them super seniors. To me, the super senior thing is gone. So
true.
Who's coming back are just all the guys we knew that were coming back, right? All the seniors that were seniors, like the Sam Burts, those guys, Earl Bostic, we knew those guys were all coming back. They were just going to exercise their COVID year, but they're really not super seniors because they do count against the 85. So now this whole super senior thing, you're more selective with it, right? I mean, it's just not a carte blanche, bring these 12 kids back. Now you've got to figure out, you know, who you want to count against those numbers. So it's kind of a tricky thing when you say super senior because it's not what everybody knows from last year.
Such an interesting process as this continues to evolve. And you know, you could hear as Coach Leipold continues to talk about this, and, you know, like I said, we've had a couple sound bites from him already. You could tell by the sound of his voice, I said it was a never-ending process earlier, and you can tell he very much understands that that's what it is now, don't you think?
Well, when you look at it, Randy, you know, and we did, I know we touched on this a little bit, but, you know, these guys, they want to focus on spring football, okay? And then when spring football's over, what do? They want to get out on the road, okay? Mm-hmm. These guys, you know, you usually time your spring football to get over sometime in mid-April, which then gives you about 6 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks, out solidly on the road to start looking at the 2023 guys. Well, now you've got this portal recruiting, and if Kansas takes 7 spots into the spring, okay, a player has to declare by May 1 if he's going into the portal, okay? So that does help a little bit, so you kind of know, you know, how many spots you're going to have left and who's still going to leave your program and what you might need. But I'm just telling you, we talked about the word nuisance earlier. That's kind of what this is. And, you know, these guys just have to keep this thing in the back of their mind. So, you know, this is never going to end. You know, I know people will think this is funny, but I think it was Ron Prince, right? The famous Ron Prince from Kansas State once referred to the Waffle House, that the Waffle House is always open.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like with this spring portal thing, man. There's just no break, you know. You're always going to be recruiting guys even through the spring, probably all the way up until early June.
That is a phrase I was fairly certain, if you would have asked me earlier today, will the phrase "the famous Ron Prince" be uttered during today's podcast? I'd have told you no. That I don't know if that phrase has ever been said, so let alone said on this podcast. So hey, there's a first. Maybe some of the biggest news other than the famous Ron Prince from the press conference today was Leipold giving everyone the update about Jim Penagos joining the staff and Jake Schoonover moving to an off the field but very important role for this program.
Good question. Yeah, we added Jim Penagos to coach our defensive tackles. Really excited about what Jim will bring our program. I don't know how many years I've known Jim now. I met him when he was at the University of Minnesota. He came to Buffalo to one of our camps. I was highly impressed. When looking at, the earlier changes we made following the end of the regular season, continue to analyze our situation. It just resonated to me back what I initially wanted to do. And when we made some of our biggest improvements at our last job was when we had two defensive line coaches, and having Ty Wohl coaching the defensive ends, which he's experienced in doing, and then bringing in Jim to coach our defensive tackles was something I felt was going to be a great opportunity for us. And through that process, knowing that we'd have great alignment within our defensive staff room, and this would benefit our players. Last season, you know, when we have, you know, I'd say approximately 16 to 20 guys. I don't have the exact number with me at the moment. You know, and you're coaching film and you're coaching in a course of a practice and, you know, whether it be one-on-one film, scout team film, opponent film, and you know, you're trying to coach four guys versus splitting it up, and I again felt that this will benefit our players in development, you know, engagement, and of course alignment in what we want to do schematically. As far as I alluded to, Ty Wohl will continue to he will work with our defensive ends. Jacob Schoonover will still be heavily involved in the coordination and of our special teams, but we'll move to an off-field analyst role at that. But more importantly, part of this move was, you know, Jacob Schoonover's done an outstanding job in recruiting and in our relations with high school coaches, especially in the state of Missouri and Kansas. And it came apparent to me as I traveled with him through Kansas in this, as we know, that's going to be a very part of our future is our local recruiting. And he will take over a role as well as director of high school relations, that we will have somebody where he can spend more time with that and expand that role more and add to our recruiting staff in that way that I feel will benefit our program for the long term.
That was Coach Leipold on Penagos and Schoonover. And this is going to bring us to the end of really the discussion for today in this episode of the Inside Slant. You know, we tried to bring you as much audio from the press conference today as possible. We wanted to touch on recruiting and really kind of bring all of this back together, talk about some of the things from earlier in the year, tie it all in as this process just continues to evolve. You know, big, big thank you to Brian Dilworth for coming on today. Congratulations to him. It was great to hear from him talking about what it's like to make it official and become a part of this Kansas football program. you know, now that we've hit the end of it, John, this marathon just keeps going, doesn't it?
I'm sure we're going to be back with a Transfer Portal podcast.
No doubt. We will have plenty of that. And, you know, hey, spring football, as much as it looks far away today with the snow we've got on the ground, but it's just around the corner. There's going to be lots of news. Obviously, there's no better time right now than to become a subscriber at Jayhawkslant.com. Men's basketball season. We are right in the thick of Big 12 basketball season. Shea Wildebor, the best on the beat for Kansas Jayhawk basketball. John Kirby and I bring you all the news from the football beat, all the information you can need in one place. Jayhawk Slant, it is the spot on the internet for Kansas basketball and Kansas football fans. For my man John Kirby, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to a special National Signing Day edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We'll talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.